Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking more ice cream and booze. I am so delighted to continue. This is, the third week we're talking ice cream. And in the studio, I have one half of a Brooklyn-based ice cream company, Finn and Phoebe's, Krista Freeman. Welcome to Hot Grease.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Did I screw the name up? I did it right?
You did it perfectly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's like my thing. I screw everything up. So you have a partner, your business partner. She's not here, just eating. Mm-hmm. You guys started the ice cream company back in, 2010?
Yeah, in 2010, that's when we started conceptualizing lots of the flavors. And we were still making it just for fun and selling it at markets and fairs. And it wasn't really until November 2011 is when we launched our company full-fledged and started selling pints of ice cream to stores.
Wow. I just feel like you guys have been around so much longer than that.
Yeah, we were around, testing our product for a while, a year and a half, seeing if people actually liked our ice cream before we actually made the leap to quit our jobs and, do it for real. So
this show is Hot Grease. I love to bring in all the southern flavor or whatever. Mm-hmm. No pun intended, or maybe pun intended, southern flavor. You're from Florida.
Yeah, from Jacksonville.
Yeah, okay. So I was about to ask you, do you really consider Jacksonville the South?
It's a weird place. It's like this, it's like on the cusp of the Georgia border, and yeah. Then it has it's like really lots of seafood types of cuisine and, still has southern flair to it. And I consider it still the South, but Florida's just a weird state.
Of Jacksonville, I definitely think of the Florida Gators. Yeah. I think of a huge football town. You guys have a lot of elements that are truly southern.
Yeah, a lot of hicks, too. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I know about those. Yes, yeah. Definitely know about those.
Sorry, Jacksonville.
So, childhood memories and ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Did you have an ice cream truck in Jacksonville? Was there a corner store with, ice cream or a favorite ice cream maker?
Uh-huh. So we definitely had the ice cream truck that would drive around when I was a kid. And I would remember swimming in my pool and I would hear the ice cream truck just running out, chasing the ice cream man. I even installed, you remember bubble tape? I installed something on my bike made out of the bubble tape container where I could keep change and money that chased around the ice cream man when I heard him coming around. So I definitely loved those strawberry shortcake ice cream bars kid.
The strawberry sprinkle whatever thing
weird. It's mushy on the outside. But one of my favorite flavors growing up was really the Häagen-Dazs coffee ice cream and then green tea
fancy.
Ice. Yeah, I know. I had a refined palate. I loved coffee as a little kid and then green tea ice cream as well.
Do you remember, did you make ice cream at home?
No, we never made ice cream at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just, this making ice cream it was just pretty much an accident.
I feel in small communities, and even large communities, there's typically always the one store or place that makes ice cream. Did you have that in Jacksonville?
God, I think about it, we didn't really have really great ice cream shops in Jacksonville. It was mostly kind of chain type things. When I think about it, maybe a TCBY. Oh, actually, we had Dreamette. Dreamette, we did. It was shaped like an ice cream cone. And we used to go to get soft serve from there and all different kinds of flavors. And we would go there as a kid. And I still go back there now.
Oh, they're still around.
They're still around, yeah. And I took took Jess there whenever we went home recently.
So is it similar to a Dairy Queen?
No, not really. It's just more just kind of millions of different kinds of flavors, pina colada. It's a typical soft serve type place where you can get shakes and, you know, things like that.
So I was so thrilled. I was in Georgia like 2 weeks ago for 8 days. Mm-hmm. I spent half of the time in Athens and the other half in Atlanta. And so when I went to, as soon as I got to Athens, one of the things that I always do is go to Earth Fair and like get my yogurt because they have all the specialty stuff. And there was a guy in front of me. He had like 4 pints of your ice cream.
Oh, really?
I was like, wow, Brooklyn in Athens.
Yeah.
What's up? So Earth Fair is like all over the South. So are you at all of the stores?
Yeah, we're in all the Earth Fairs throughout the Southeast. And then they have some stores kind of scattered in Ohio, Indiana. And they have one store in Florida in Tallahassee.
Oh.
And I think they're expanding, you know, each year. I think they're kind of itching their way into Florida and to other states.
And how would you describe Earth Fair? People who are listening are like, what is Earth Fair?
God. I think it's kind of like the way when I used to shop at Whole Foods back like in early 2000, like at least the one in like ones in California. It kind of reminds me of the way Whole Foods used to be a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, Whole Foods. But it's just like, you know, it's just more kind of hippie-like.
Yeah. They have the same things as Whole Foods.
Yeah.
I would say that the footprint is very small. The one in Athens is super small.
Yeah, it's definitely smaller. They set up shop wherever they can kind of find open spaces wherever, you know, and they've really focused on like more like all natural organic, I guess similar to Whole Foods, but it's just it has a smaller feel, you know, than Whole Foods.
Very co-op.
Yeah, very co-opish. That's a good example.
So I want to talk flavors.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites, I'm going to screw the name up, is the one with the pretzels, caramel, and chocolate.
Well, we have a new flavor. It's a peanutty pretzel, which is a peanut butter ice cream with chocolate-covered pretzel.
Okay, yeah.
And then we have a dark chocolate, salty caramel flavor, which is mainly like, we're trying to like assimilate Marlo and Daughter's chocolate tart when we made that flavor, and it's a really rich dark chocolate flavor, which is like a hint of the salty sweet.
Mm-hmm. So it must be the first flavor. It must be two of them that I've tried then, because one has just all straight chocolate with hints of a sea salt, which is the Marlo one, and then the other one has caramel and pretzels. How'd you come up with the caramel and pretzel?
Well, it actually doesn't have caramel in it, but No, it doesn't. But
Okay.
We just really wanted to make a peanut butter flavor, and actually one of our friends kept on requesting that we have a peanut butter flavor, and we were prototyping like probably at the time, like, you know, like we're always doing trying to make like 12 or so flavors at a time, and that one just became a happy accident, you know. So,
and the banana pudding, which is actually called the
banana whamma. Yeah, I mean, that's inspired from, you know, myself growing up in this, you know, the Southeast and being obsessed with banana pudding, and also like, you know, as well, like, you know, key lime pies and things like that. But pretty much just wanted to make banana pudding in ice cream form. And we still have our cookies hand baked.
I was going to ask you about the cookies. So they're
it's like our form of a vanilla wafer, but it's all natural. And it's just a vanilla style wafer that's a lot chewier.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't have all the bad ingredients like when you're reading the vanilla wafer label. So
that's good to know about the banana wafers. The question that I have with the coconut key lime pie, why add the coconut? Why not just a straight up coconut key lime pie?
Because you know what, I think it adds a nice balance, because lots of people like sometimes key lime's too tart for people, and also I mean sometimes people don't like coconut either, but I just thought it would be have a nice, it was just more unique when we did that. So they helped kind of balance each other out, because sometimes you start to add too much key lime, you can kind of mess around with the texture of the ice cream and the butterfat as well.
So now it seems that, you know, of course you guys are in a lot of stores here in Brooklyn or in New York City, but you're in a ton of stores in the Southeast. So knowing that you're in the Southeast, are you starting to develop new recipes based on your customers? What you think they may like?
Yeah. You know what? We have a lot of stuff that we're working on and we want to launch, but unfortunately, we have to be kind of strategic how we launch flavors, because not all stores just take all your flavors. It's based upon performance. So we have a bunch of flavors in the lineup that we think that would like just mesh really nicely with our flavor line. But most of the flavors are pretty much inspired by the stuff we eat, and we do get customer requests, but it's mainly just based upon like what we're really into at the time.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more in the world of ice cream. Keep listening. We'll be back in a sec. No trouble
tonight. This one's called Let It Go by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. So nice and tight. I ain't looking for no fight.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Did you know that pollinators are needed for more than two-thirds of the world's crop species? Most of these pollinators are bees. However, North America's bee population has been steadily declining since the 1990s. Whether you live in the country or the city, you can show your commitment by hosting a hive in your backyard or even on a rooftop. The beekeeping movement is growing, so you're sure to find swarms of folks who can help you find your way. Learn more about the ways you can help be the solution at wholefoodsmarket.com/sharethebuzz. Let's talk it
over. We're continuing our month-long celebration to ice cream. And in the studio, we have one half of Finn and Phoebe's, Miss Krista Freeman. So I feel like ice cream is exploding, almost similar to donuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all the small batch ice creams are like bubbling up, or maybe I just have an ice cream addiction.
Yeah, I think that ice cream's really coming into its own the past couple years. I think there's been, people have been recognizing that, you know, there's, in the past, like Ben and Jerry's kind of paved the way and started, yeah. They made a really nice all natural ice cream. And now lots of the ice creams have a lot of bad ingredients in it. And I feel like people are really taking a step back and really wanting to make a really nice, super premium ice cream and kind of coming to their own and being really experimental with it versus in the past. So
I know earlier we were, you know, shouting out Jenny's, you know, Splendid Ice Cream, yeah, as one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many others. I mean, you go to some cities and one brand is the ice cream band, the small,
yeah,
brand ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And you're starting to see you guys like really moving beyond Brooklyn. I really think that that's the key. Mm-hmm. is scaling up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we really want to have, you know, we really want to our goal is to try to expand to be nationwide by the spring.
Oh, cool.
Because we, you know, we have a goal set that we really want to change the way people think about ice cream. And in the sense that, you know, ice cream can have a clean label, good ingredients, and still really taste good,
yeah,
without things like corn syrups and things like that. And also be fun and inventive flavors. So the only way to really do that in the masses is by, you know, expanding nationwide. So
how do you move past the challenges? I feel like every time I talk to someone who's doing a dairy product, it's always something about the rising cost of dairy and, mm-hmm, ingredients and small batch and keeping stuff consistent. It seems like you guys have been able to do that and keep your price not like outrageous, but kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've been able to do that because we just stay really true to form. Like, we're not going to go skimp on ingredients and, you know, sacrifice our better fat content or, you know, buy like cheaper cookies and things like that. We're just able to do that by always reevaluating where we're sourcing our ingredients, you know, still buying quality ingredients, but trying to find the best price, you,
yeah,
know, to meet and, you know, be able to sell it at a price that's, you know, not too high, but not too cheap as well. So
yeah. Sadly, I missed the Fancy Food Show, but I'm going to say that you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have a booth at Fancy Food?
Yes, we did. It was amazing. It was quite a whirlwind. You know, it's a lot of people just coming in and out of your booth. It was a blur.
So what would you say? I mean, I saw a list. I saw a lot of tweets of trends, mm-hmm, in terms of food. What do you predict as some of the ice cream trends in the coming year?
God. Or
mashups.
Yeah, mashups. You know, I'm probably not the best person to answer to this. I feel like, I mean, you see a lot of times, I guess there's lots of things with spice.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of things with spice. I've been seeing a lot of tea type ice creams. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a new brand called Terrific that just launched, and they're from Connecticut, and I've been seeing a lot of tea ice creams. I think on like the larger scale, I see stuff like that. I mean, I think Jenny would probably speak the best to this since she's like super innovative, coming up with really great, unique flavors. But I feel like those two kinds of things right now.
I feel like, I don't know how, you know, I guess the gluten people can eat ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the hottest trend, it seems to come up. It's coming out of the Fancy Food Show, this whole gluten-free.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, gluten-free, definitely. I mean, gluten-free everything. We're always getting asked if our ice cream's gluten-free.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we only really have two gluten-free flavors.
That's great though.
Yeah, because other stuff has cookies and stuff in it, and unfortunately we just don't make, you know, gluten-free cookies for that. But that's definitely like probably the biggest trend. You nailed it.
Oh yeah. gluten-free is a moneymaker.
Yeah.
So the future, the future of P&P, you said, you know, by the end of the year, you want to be a nationwide brand.
Hopefully by, you know, by, yeah, the springtime next year, that's a goal, you know, but we have to work to get there. And we're always kind of, we're always reevaluating ourselves as a small company and figuring out what is the best way for us to grow without, you know, growing too quickly. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to stick around. I have another set of guests in the studio, but we're going to, you know, cap off the show with some ice cream. Okay. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay.
Yep.
Stay tuned in, people. We're going to take a break and come back and talk Mason Shaker. Keep listening to Hot Grease.
This one's called Broke Down by the California Honey Drops. Stay tuned for more Hot Grease on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Super excited to have, I love when guests come for the second and third time. Yeah. Welcome back, the guys from Mason Shaker, Eric Prum, and Josh Williams.
Thanks
for having us.
Actually, I'm meeting Josh for the first time, but I feel like I've known you guys forever.
Likewise.
Yeah, I you know, found you guys on Kickstarter when you were only trying to, can you believe you only wanted 5K?
Oh man.
Seems like forever.
That was like has it been a year?
Yeah,
it's been about a year exactly.
Yeah.
So for people who are like, what are they talking about? In one sentence, what is the Mason Shaker?
It's a Mason jar cocktail shaker. So it's
boom. You know,
pretty simple.
And Josh, you guys, you know, in the last year have completed a successful Kickstarter that actually reached almost $80,000. You guys, West Elm, what else?
Yeah, so we did our Kickstarter last summer about a year ago. That went incredibly well. We were taken aback a little bit by how successful that was. And over the holidays, we were in West Elm exclusively across the nation, and then launched fully in February. So we're now in retailers all across the U.S. and internationally as well. And we're now in sort of the planning stages of thinking through what's next and what we're going to do for holiday this year.
So you guys now have a studio in Bushwick. Tell me about this studio.
Yeah, it's a fun, creative space for us. As far as shipping and making the Mason Shakers, we kind of outgrew our first warehouse and needed to get a bigger space. So Josh and I went back down to Virginia, where we're from, and we set up that space for the actual logistics. And then we came back up here, and we felt like it was a really super creative, fun area. I think the last time we talked, I was actually like looking at places right next door. And we found a great spot, and we're using it primarily as sort of our workspace, our workshop for new goods. We're creating lines for a couple of different retailers for this holiday, so we're working with like leather and canvas products, and we did a really cool cocktail kit that we released for Father's Day, so we've been doing a lot of that. And then our most recent focus is a cocktail recipe book that we've been working on.
So is this a cool creative space where it's a ton of prototypes?
Lots of
music blasting all the time.
Yeah.
A great fridge and great food.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Right now it's sort of like, I compare it to like a Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but for cocktails. So there's just everything you could possibly imagine for cocktails as we're coming up with recipes, and, you know, we're going to the markets every day, like farmers markets around the area, and picking up fresh produce and doing photo sessions in the workspace. So it's been a really great space to be creative in. And
so, Josh, do you guys have a staff now? Is it just the two of you guys, or
you
have freelance?
Okay. Work really long hours.
Oh, wow.
we were shooting this, like, quick infusion thing that we're putting out on our social media next week, and I was fearing we'd smell, like, vodka and bourbon and blueberries and peaches coming in here.
Oh, well, that smells good. I could deal with that.
Yeah, it's not such a bad thing.
It's better than, you know, it feels like 110 outside.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I have to ask you guys about the cocktail book, Josh.
Yeah.
Tell me about this book. And because I know originally you guys had on the Kickstarter that you were going to do a book, but is this book gonna, is it self-published? Or are you working with a publisher? Or
So we offered a small pamphlet of cocktail recipes from when we did our Kickstarter. It's one of the rewards, and that got some really good feedback. And starting in the spring, we launched an Instagram cocktail series where every Thursday, if you follow us at Mason Shaker, we put out a very visual, fun cocktail that you can make at home. And so we've been doing that since about February. So we started developing a lot of content out of that and realized that we have a lot of cocktails that we love that people always ask us for the recipes, you know, after we've made them for friends. And we thought, okay, well, this probably belongs in a book, and we have a lot of content that we'd love to share with people. So we decided to start the process of coming out with a cocktail book for the holiday season this year. And so it's going to be a book reflective of how we think about cocktails, which we think is a little bit different because neither Eric nor I are bartenders. You know, we just love cocktails and love mixing them for friends. So it's very much, you know, a book about how to bring cocktails out of sort of the bar and into the home, and using the Mason Shaker to do that. So it'll be seasonally divided across four seasons.
Oh, cool.
And each season we'll have probably 6 to 8 recipes that we love for that that time of year.
And Eric, what I love is that every time I go on Instagram and I look at a cocktail, like all my favorite booze people on there, like Oni's Rum.
Oh, yeah.
And Virginia, I forget the name of the Virginia
company. Yeah, Virginia Distillery. Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah. I'm like, whoa, y'all have all the good people.
Yeah, we're sort of just partnering up with brands that we see in our own apartments. To be honest, we look at what we like and enjoy, and we've been reaching out to various distillers and purveyors locally and, you know, down in Virginia. I think we were talking earlier about Tom Richter in the East Village making his Tommer's Tonic. He came out to our studio. You know, we casually mentioned, hey, come out and, like, let's talk about a cocktail. He brought everything, you know, all his tools out and giant ice block, and he was on the floor, you know, with a machete smashing out perfect ice cubes.
It was
so cool. And that experience has sort of grown into what we're doing each week. So as we're creating that week's content, we'll kind of like search around and, you know, maybe give a ring to the guys at Green Hook Gin Smith or, whoever's interesting. And that way you actually learn a little bit more about the product you enjoy too. So it's just been an awesome learning process this year as we are moving along and reaching out. Like, these distilleries are totally accessible. It's all really cool entrepreneurs or just interesting people that are really educated, and it's been a really fun experience.
Yeah, what I love is that you guys are really creating a culture or have created a culture around this Mason Shaker that's very Southern but not in-your-face Southern, very, like, all about the entrepreneur, and it's quite obvious. One of the cool things that I'm totally excited about, Josh, is this new canvas leather cocktail kit.
Yeah.
Is it out in stores? I feel like I saw it in Billy Reed. I don't know. Maybe I saw something. I was like, wait, this looks like Mason Shaker. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's available now. It's actually on our website. And we came out with it at the beginning of the summer as sort of a product that's perfect for taking cocktails on the go for, you know, picnics or parties that you go to. And the inspiration was really, we had always sort of been the people that bring cocktails to a party. And we were sort of looking for a way to bring our goods to, you know, a very social event where you're making cocktails. So what we did was we put together a really great kit of the Mason Shaker along with a few other products that comes with this really awesome handmade canvas and leather bag that can fit everything and fits, you know, sort of perfectly all the essentials for making cocktails on the go.
What's the size of the bag, the dimension? It's like, it's not really duffel size, but kind of, sort of.
Yeah, it's about 20 to 24 inches in length. So it's just big enough that you can hold everything that you need for cocktails for, call it, 2 to 4 people.
Yeah, and we in the actual bag itself, we sewed in an aluminum frame around the top so it has some form to it, and then a fiberboard bottom. So it literally protects the bottles as you're carrying them around. So it's kind of, you know, one of those things where we just wanted something where you could, you know, throw a bunch of glassware into a to-go bag, like a tote, and, you know, have the confidence that you're not going to open the bag and everything's smashed in there. So
Eric, is this bag this cocktail kit for the bartender? Because I see some of these bags sometimes, and I'm like, this is for the professional bartender? Or is this for the everyday person who's just a huge cocktail enthusiast?
I think it's very much for the cocktail enthusiast. It's very much, like Josh said, a very social thing. It's not so focused on the smaller tools as it is, you know, a simple tools, the muddler, the jigger, glassware. We partnered with Foglin and we created some really beautiful cocktail napkins. And those aren't really things I think that a bartender would especially value as much as someone that just wanted to throw a few bottles of liquor into the bag, find some ice, and just, you know, have cocktails for four on the beach. So that's sort of our idea.
So lastly, I have to talk about, I was so excited to see you mention your new partnership. And then last night, I'm, you know, uploading or downloading my new digital Garden and Gun magazine.
I'm a huge
fan of Garden and Gun.
Us too.
I see that they're doing like this new Garden and Gun Jubilee that's happening in December. I think this is a culmination with the Made in the South Award. So what are you guys doing with Garden and Gun?
So our relationship with them started out over Father's Day, where they really liked the cocktail kit. They liked that we're, you know, from the South and we're doing our thing up here in New York. And for a holiday, I think we're going to probably be partnering up with some cocktails that they're going to offer up, hopefully, in the magazine. We're working on another kit that's a little more holiday focused that they're probably going to do something about. So they've been really cool as our voice, I would say, towards the South. Because we, you know, as far as media attention, we've gotten some really great reviews from the New York Times and from people up here. And I think it's going to be a really great way. It's sort of a tabletop magazine in both Josh and I's house.
And yeah, Garden and Gun is it. It is definitely the New South magazine.
Yeah, and they're operating out of a tiny little office in Charleston, and they have a huge following, and they're just really real people. So we're excited kind of over holiday to be sharing everything we're doing with them, and they're pretty excited to be working with us as well, I think.
Cool. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk ice cream with you guys, and then Krista is going to pull out her stuff because I want to hear about ice cream booze, and let's get into this ice cream. How about that? Keep listening. We'll be back in a sec.
Even though it was wrong, but she gave me something. Whoa, you know she did. I've been missing at home. Well, you know I love you.
This one's called Hell Yes, I Cheated by the California Honey Drops.
Sucker for salty caramel.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. And thanks and shout out to Joe G, who is producing my show today. We're talking ice cream today. Not only are we talking ice cream, we're talking Mason Shakers. In the studio still is Krista from Finn and Phoebe's and the boys from Mason Shaker. You can find them both on Twitter, on social. Mason Shaker, very simple, and Finn and Phoebe's on all the social. You got to spell that, because
yeah, so it's spelled P-H-I-N and then A-N-D P-H-E-B-E-S, and like at Finn and Phoebe's for Twitter, and the same thing for Facebook.
So we all have a spoon, but while we're, you know, tasting, I want to ask Eric and Josh, I didn't see, or do you guys have ice cream cocktail that's coming out?
Not yet.
Oh, so you're about to get inspired, huh?
I'm getting inspired as we speak. These look amazing. And I mean, personally, I love adding, you know, bourbon, or being from the South, adding bourbon to, you know, milkshakes, or even on top of ice cream with some peaches or something like that. So I think it's definitely in the works now.
Did I hear there was a banana whammy flavor?
Yeah, we can even get our spoons.
I think a banana whammy milkshake with a little bit of bourbon in there would be just fantastic.
That sounds pretty good.
So what do you want me? Let me see what I have not tried. Are you guys going to try some of me? Y'all just
absolutely
get a spoon.
This guy will. I might have.
You're not air.
The
okay,
dairy.
Josh. The dairy is serious.
I would do the. Sorry.
I would do the Banana Whamma first because it's pretty much the most mild of the flavors we have here.
Okay, I have not tried the Banana Whamma, so I'm going to try this one. Okay. So. And I will say I'm not a banana pudding fan, but I went to Richmond, Virginia, and had banana pudding at Comfort in Richmond. So shout out to Jason, the chef owner of Comfort. He and Michelle converted me. Let me see. Mmm. Okay. I love it. It's not like too banana-y, if that's a word.
Mm. Yeah, no, yeah. I think a lot of times banana stuff kind of tastes like fake banana-y. So this is good. It actually tastes like real banana.
I love the cookies in there, too.
Yeah, they're really good.
So let me ask you guys. So now I'm going to try the vanilla cinnamon. Yeah. Okay, I'm double dipping.
It's y'all's ice creams.
We're all friends here.
Do you guys put spices in any of your cocktails?
We definitely do. Yeah. So we did we actually did a cocktail this spring that had pink peppercorns in it that turned out pretty well. It was pink peppercorns, Green Hook gin over in Greenpoint, and then basil and some lime juice. And we did that, and it turned out pretty well.
I feel like my mouth is full. Excuse me, guys. Salted caramel is a thing.
Yeah, it definitely is. We try to make flavors that aren't necessarily a thing. We always try to have our own twist on things. And the dark chocolate's a little bit different. But I love salted caramel ice cream. It's great.
I've had this one. I'm going to try this one. Milkshakes. Boozy milkshakes.
You need to do an entire show on that.
On boozy milkshakes?
Yeah. We'll come back.
I haven't really had one.
We'll come back for that.
I've never had the boozy milkshakes.
Really?
Yay or nay? Y'all love them?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like the combination of everything that's good in life.
Really? Okay.
Especially in the summer, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't quite make one in a mason shaker, but we'll still
We'll figure out a way just for you.
I'm sure you guys will come up with some kind of contraption or device to be able to do that. I'm trying the dark chocolate salted caramel. I've tried the vanilla cinnamon to die for. I'm calling it the banana pudding, but that's not the name. It's Banana Whamma. And the dark chocolate salted caramel, I can vouch for that, and the peanutty pretzel. Because I picked that up at my local...
Earth Fair?
No, not Earth Fair. God, why do I always do this? It's on Fulton down from...
Oh, Brooklyn Victory Garden?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brooklyn Victory Garden. They usually always have the peanutty... pretzel and the dark chocolate salted caramel.
Now, you said you make your vanilla wafers for the Banana Whamma, right?
So we actually, we outsource that to a baker.
Very
and
cool.
She hand bakes those for us, and then we just ship them up to our plant.
And is that how does the process work when you're sourcing, like, various ingredients, like the pretzels? Is it just crazy all over the place?
Yeah, I mean, I just have, like, we worked really hard over, in the beginning, it was kind of a lot harder to find the proper ingredients. We just had to come to market. But now we just, I get a lot of samples shipped out. I test everything. Everything's, all these flavors start out in our home kitchen by myself and Jess. And then we just scale it for production. So we just have a chest freezer full of, sample products in our apartment and in our office space as well. So, and then.
I love it. Of course, I would not have you on the show if I didn't love it. But I love all the flavors. I'm glad I got a chance to taste the ones that I hadn't. What are we going to do with this ice cream? I guess we're going to have to send it over to the office, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we can give it to the guys over here in the kitchen and stuff. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You guys. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for bringing. I have one last question. This is about snow cones. I feel like so many restaurants are doing this whole snow cone thing with alcohol on top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all know about it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I see you guys are up on the trend. What are your thoughts about that? And
I would love to see
you know what I don't like and what I would love to see? I don't like the paper cones. I would love to see like some kind of silver or metal, up.
I think the key to those is making sure you have the right ingredients. So where snow cones fall down for me is when you've got that neon, antifreeze blue.
Yeah.
That's where it kind of falls down. But if you're making, especially this time of year when you've got all this fresh produce and, things are blooming, like, you should be using that stuff and adding booze. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I can't even think of the name of the restaurant. I don't know why I'm having a brain lapse. Oh, my gosh. They're doing snow cones, and it's not the blue neon.
Yeah.
They're right next door to Mission Chinese. Oh, my gosh. How can I forget the name of this. Oh, well. But anyway, I would love to see, like, you know, FYI, if you just get inspired, like an adult snow cone holder.
Well, we're not too far away, so if we come up with it, we'll bring it back.
Yes. So, Mason Shaker and Finn and Phoebes, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. Listeners, as always, thanks for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday live at 3:30 Eastern Time. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.